With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. It's been 3 weeks since Hurricane Florence made landfall in North Carolina.
Some of the biggest challenges are just the fact that life has been on hold for almost a month. If you think about it, school has been out, so childcare for families has been disrupted. Roads are still blocked in many cases, blocking, you know, getting supplies in. And there's demand for construction workers and for all sorts of people. It's just been slow going to get back to normal.
Wall Street Journal reporter Valerie Borline has the details. But first, here are some top stories. In a year where many top CEOs have seen untimely exits, studies show the tenure of chief executives is growing shorter. Wall Street Journal reporter John Stoll explains.
Boards are saying very early in the tenure of a CEO, okay, let's watch the pace, the rhythm, the tone, the type of language they're using, the type of decisions they're making, the rate of change, the share price. Because if it's not going on fast enough and if it's not happening early enough, chances are you only get one chance to get out of the gate.
Research firm Equilar found the median CEO tenure in 2017 was 5 years. Bed Bath & Beyond is in the middle of a slump. Analysts say the chain hasn't moved fast enough to renovate stores or match prices with competitors like Amazon. The chain has reported 6 consecutive quarters of declining same-store sales, and shares are down more than 80% from their all-time closing high in January of 2014. The CEO of Constellation Brands, the parent company of Corona, says he isn't worried about the legal marijuana market cutting into beer and wine sales. This year, the company reported an 11% rise in beer sales and a 9% rise in sales of wine and spirits as compared to last year. Constellation Brands bought a 10% stake in cannabis startup Canopy Growth last year. The company grows marijuana for medical and recreational products. The owner of the Chicago Tribune, Baltimore Sun, and New York Daily News is changing its name from Tronc back to Tribune Publishing Company. The about face comes after just 2 years. The name change takes effect on October 9th. And finally, on Friday's economic calendar, the September jobs report. Still to come, an update on recovery efforts in North Carolina after Florence. It's been 3 weeks since Hurricane Florence made landfall in North Carolina. And although most of the floodwaters have receded, many residents are still struggling in the aftermath of the storm. Joining us now via Skype from Raleigh with the latest on recovery from Florence is Wall Street Journal reporter Valerie Borline. Valerie, it seems that Florence has largely faded from the headlines, but it has been less than a month since a major hurricane hit the United States, and there's still a lot of work to be done before life returns to normal for many North Carolina residents. What are the biggest challenges right now?
Well, you're right that life in eastern North Carolina, essentially the eastern third of the state, is really on hold. And some of the biggest challenges are just there's still a lot of roads that are blocked. There's still hundreds and thousands of homes that, if not destroyed, are badly damaged. There are trees that have fallen and debris along the streets. And just getting life back to normal has taken a while. School is only starting back in many places. So kids have been out of school for almost a month. And some of them are going to different schools because their schools are damaged, or they're having to take different bus routes because the roads are still closed. So you really can't overstate the degree to which things are on pause, even 3 weeks after Florence made landfall.
And just this week, North Carolina's Governor Roy Cooper signed a $50 million disaster relief bill. What does that include?
The legislature came back in special session this week to consider this disaster relief. And to give them credit, many people say they came back very soon after the disaster compared to the past. They also reached agreement in a bipartisan way. And there's been a significant amount of gridlock, partisan gridlock in North Carolina. So this decision is being very lauded. And the $50 million that they approved will be used to do the state portion to get the ball rolling, like a down payment on federal dollars that are coming in, either for individuals in FEMA or for federal highway spending, things like that. And they did a couple other things. They forgave missed school days for the most affected counties up to 20 days that they won't have to make up, which was a big deal. They decided to pay teachers for the time that they had missed, which also was something that a lot of folks in the eastern part of the state had been advocating for. And they also changed voter registration around a little bit to give people more time, since they know that life has been significantly disrupted there.
And as we look to the days and months ahead, what aid will the state need going forward, and what's expected from the federal government?
Well, I think the federal government has President Trump was here really soon after the disaster. The FEMA administrator was here very quickly as well, and they have given their firm commitment to making sure North Carolina gets the money that they say that they need, if they can document that they do. I think one of the challenges is just making sure that the wheels of bureaucracy turn a little more quickly. You can talk to people on the ground who are like, yeah, I applied with FEMA, but it's not clear to me I'm actually going to be able to get any benefit. They sent me to the SBA, and the SBA sent me back to my mortgage lender. So I think the monies will significantly go towards housing and towards roads and infrastructure rebuilding. But the challenge here in particular in the past has been making sure it gets allocated and then spent more quickly.
Valerie, I want to ask you, because you had written a personal essay for the Wall Street Journal about Wilmington, your hometown, which was hard hit by the hurricane. What has it been like for you personally to report on this storm and North Carolina's ongoing recovery?
Well, thanks for asking. It has been very personal. I've been a reporter for more than 20 years, and I've covered 8 or 9 storms at this point, big disasters like Harvey and Katrina that are mind-boggling. But when it affects the street where you grew up or your family's home, it feels a little different. So I just, know that because of my own family's experience, it's hard to line up a carpenter to come repair broken windows because they're in such demand. It's been a surreal feeling to kind of observe the story and try to see it objectively and in the context of other disasters and what's happening in a bigger picture, but then also to kind of live it intimately because of your own family. You know, these big storms, it's hard to conceptualize how a storm like Florence, which was, made landfall as a Category 1, right? Or a storm like Harvey. There's a new concept or newish concept in meteorology called a wet storm, and these storms that just sit and dump rain. And so they may not have the wind and that takes down structures, but they have this voluminous amount of rain that's happening. And scientists are saying partly because the ocean waters are just demonstrably warmer than they were 10 or 20 years ago on the coast, and that warms up the water. And so I talked with some meteorologists for the story who say, look, these types of wet events, wet storms, which is a funny phrase, look to be what we can expect going forward. And I mention that because Florence dumped 8 trillion gallons of water in North Carolina, which is almost 800,000 gallons of water for every person in the state. Mind-boggling to try to think of that, but it's a massive amount of water that creates a significant amount of havoc and is likely to be sort of a new normal in storms on the East Coast going forward.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Valerie Borlein. Valerie, thank you as always for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.